good morning, good evening, wherever you are. It's the Flaws of Attraction podcast with your host, Jillian Alexa, and I'm here on a nice Tuesday evening getting ready to launch this episode. It's a really great one. I'm really excited about it. We talk even more about astrology. So if you've listened to the other episode on astrology, this will take it even further. So I'm really excited to share this with you. Also, I get to announce a really fun giveaway winner. So Liz Powell, you've won the giveaway. I'm so excited. If you want to DM me, I can hook you up with a $100 ClassPass card, a free year subscription to Dive Through, and some Sage Wellness goodies. I'm so excited, guys. That was the first time I could do something like that, and I can't wait to do more things. But how are you guys? Just want to check in how your week's been. I'm going to be really honest with you guys. The past 2 weeks have been really, really rough. There's a lot going on in my life, whether it's just, you know, personal things or if it's energetics. I'm believing the latter, that it is energetics, which I've just come up to a pretty intense period of time. And I'm going to give you guys a life update probably in the next episode, just kind of letting the dust settle right now. We have just gone through two transits, so two eclipses. This is eclipse season. It's also Mercury in retrograde right now. I did have a little occasion. I had a situation with Mercury in retrograde for myself. And if you don't know about Mercury in retrograde, it's essentially where things really slow down. Communication can kind of get out of sort. Technology can go haywire. Things can explode, like the growler in my vehicle. So this past weekend, I had a really fun weekend. I actually went to a bonfire down in Bray Creek. And on my way to the bonfire, I decided I was going to go to the brewery down the road and get a growler. And so, yeah, I got like a really nice beer and put the growler in my car. Growler was doing great. And I was driving on one of the craziest highways in Calgary. And all of a sudden, the growler made like this popping noise. And I was like, what the hell? And yeah, it had exploded. So it wasn't obtrusive. Like when I was driving, I just kind of heard the noise, but it like leaked all over my car. So 64 ounces of beer have now soaked through my car upholstery. And that has been like my Mercury in retrograde situation so far. Other than all of the transitions happening in my life, which you guys will hear about later, so much has been brought up for me, and I think, you know, this episode is really timely because I got to bring on one of my close friends, Sky, and she is an astrologer, and I asked her a couple questions about astrology, and I also asked her about what's currently been going on, and it does feel like the energies the past 2 weeks have been really intense for everyone. For me, totally rocked my entire world. Just had no idea. Just events that like I could never have expected to happen have happened. And, you know, I'm all alive and well and everything's going to be okay. And it's just really forcing me to be in like a full surrender to the universe. My other little fun story from this past week also happened when we were at the bonfire. So what was really great was I went to this bonfire and we're having a good old time, you know. And I looked up in the night sky and it was so beautiful. We had driven to this valley and even done some off-roading, which, you know, I'm not very familiar with. I'm like city mouse, you know, I'm not country mouse, I'm city mouse. So anyway, we drove out there and I was looking at this night sky and the beautiful stars, and I looked right overhead of me and I saw what I thought were like a bunch of asteroids. So I looked up in the sky and I saw what I thought was a bunch of asteroids, but it turns out all of these asteroids were moving at the same pace and they were all like evenly distributed, if that makes sense. And it really looked like a weirdly parallel spaceship flying in the sky. And so I was there with my boyfriend and his friend and me, and we all were looking at it and it was moving extremely slow. And so we were like, it looks like asteroids, but it's not. And it's so weird. And I fully was like, guys, that is a UFO. Like, we've just seen a UFO. And it slowly crossed the sky and vanished, and I have it on video and everything. And when we got back to town, we looked it up straight away, and of course it was Elon Musk, guys. It was Starlink. We saw the satellites he has strung together crossing the night sky, and it was really trippy to see. I definitely, you know, I can see how someone might mistake in something like that for a UFO and go and report it or start telling their friends that they've legitimately seen a UFO, because it was so weird. But, you know, it's really humbling to, like, look up in the sky and see something man-made up there. I'm personally not the hugest fan of Elon Musk, but I'm just going to chalk that up to, like, a cool experience. I used it for TikTok content, so got a really fun little community chat going on my TikTok from that. But anyway, yeah, the past couple of weeks have just blown me out of the water, guys. I don't know what else to say other than I'm really grateful to be kind of feeling a little better. And something that really got me out of the slump was going back to a dance class. So I love dance, and I'm starting to feel, you know, I don't dance a lot anymore. I used to dance a ton, but I started to feel like the world was kind of swallowing me whole, and I was losing myself and trying to fit into other people's schedules and into other people's lives and not really, like, doing things for myself. And anytime I really get into, like, a place where I feel really low, one of the things that I like to do is ask myself, what is one thing that you can do for yourself this week that you would really like to do? So I signed up for my friend Simran's dance class. She was on episode 2 of this podcast, I think, or it was at episode 3. And she taught this really fun, like, sexy heels piece. I love heels. Heels is the best, guys. You have to try it if you haven't. And ever since that, I feel like I found my power again. And finding my power has been a huge theme over the past 4, I'm going to say it's probably going to be, it's going to be one of the biggest themes of my 20s, is finding my power. But to be in my body, and she led, like, a body-led movement meditation in the beginning, which I really was dancing with. And I was like, wow, there is something so therapeutic about listening to music really loudly that you resonate with and you feel it in your bones and then move with it. So I'm going to start to try and do that a little bit more, because I really think it got me out of a slump that just, like, kind of ate me alive for at least, you know, like, a week and a half. But feeling way better now, and I'll keep you guys in the loop how I'm doing. Anyway, without any more segments or stories, I wanted to share with you guys one of my friends. So her name is Sky. She's an astrologer, a doula, an artist, a performer, and she lives out in New York. And I met her through my personal development group, the TBM, which I talk about To Be Magnetic a lot. We talk at length about TBM, so just a little rundown about what that is before you start hearing that said a lot throughout this episode. To Be Magnetic is the manifestation podcast and workshops that you can do, like, self-led, both, like, I guess, like, shadow work and inner child work and journaling and manifestation work through. So that's really, really changed my life. So we talk about that at length. And I met Sky through my little circle that I found in that community. And she's a really powerful manifester, and she's a very magical woman. And there's no one I would rather have on than her to talk about astrology. So without further ado, you can listen to this episode and learn a little more. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. Okay, well, we first obviously have to talk about how we know each other and how we met, because we actually haven't met.
We haven't met in real life, although it feels like we have somehow.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, Sky and I guess I just found Sky through Clubhouse, through getting into the work with 2B Magnetic, which was very life transforming and continues to be for me. And yeah, I was just like wanting to find a meetup group. So a group of people to kind of chat about some of the work, personal work that I was doing. And Sky came into the picture and just blew me out of the water. She is incredible. So cool. One of the first questions I like to ask my guests when they come onto the podcast is if you want to share a little bit about yourself, your cultural upbringing and background, and also if you identify with any astrology or Enneagram or any of the typology systems out there.
Oh, God, so many exciting questions.
I know.
Okay, so I live in New York. And I am an astrologer and an artist and a Pilates teacher and a doula, kind of a Jane of all trades a little bit. And
I love it.
My cultural upbringing, I am Italian and Irish and Scottish and German. So a little bit of a lot of things. I probably identify with the Italian and the Irish the most. And I was born and baptized and Catholic, I suppose.
Yeah.
I, you know, wasn't super connected with it growing up. My parents weren't very observant. But I've always had a very strong relationship with God. And I'm sure we'll get more into all of that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I identify with astrology a lot because I'm an astrologer. And that's something that I've always been interested in and kind of snowballed in my life and just made itself a very obvious path to take. So I am a Taurus sun in the 10th house, Leo rising, and a Libra moon in the 3rd house.
Wow, very cool. It's funny because, like, now that I'm fully believe in, I think I do fully believe in astrology, especially after this past week, but I still don't know, like, half of the things that you just said. So 10th house, I don't know what that is, really.
Ooh.
I don't know what that, yeah.
So exciting to talk about that.
Please do.
Should we start there?
Might as well.
Okay, so in astrology, and I think this is a great place to start if you're learning about astrology, diving into astrology. First thing, like, print out the wheel of your chart, hang it on your wall so you can get familiarized with reading it. It's really intimidating at first, but if you just look at it, it gets really easy. Within like a year of kind of like peeking in at this new moon and that full moon, you'll get the hang of it.
Very cool.
Planets in astrology are like the what. So if we have the moon, the what of the moon is your mood averaged over a lifetime. Your natal moon is your mood averaged over a lifetime. Signs are the how. So, you know, Libra, moon in Libra, the what, my mood averaged over a lifetime. It's the mood of the artist, the peacemaker.
Yes.
Funnily enough, Enneagram 9.
There we go.
And then houses, which I love the house system. Everybody go Google up about the house system. It's so interesting because that is the where in your life something is unfolding. It's like the arena, the territory. So for example, my moon in the 3rd house, the where that's unfolding is areas of my life that are very communication heavy. So like places where I'm getting, receiving or delivering education, anywhere in my life where I might be communicating publicly or writing, speaking, that sort of thing, those kind of arenas.
Okay.
So houses are the arenas of your life.
No, thanks for explaining that because like I am getting somewhat familiar with it. I'm definitely looking at like the area, the arenas of which things are unfolding, like that makes sense to me. But when it comes to understanding the archetypes, like I love what you just said about printing it off and having it somewhere to look, and that's such a great way to integrate how to look at it. But it has definitely been proving to be a true metric of measurement for me in my life, especially the past couple of weeks. And I'm always curious now, like, it's funny, I was out with a friend the other night, we were like, oh yeah, like, my boyfriend's birthday is this, and then I was like, well, yeah, he's a Gemini. Like, it's just, like, the next obvious thing to say. So it's definitely ingrained into my life now. But I wanted to ask you, how did you find your spirituality and coming out of a Catholic upbringing, when did you get excited about astrology to begin with?
So, coming out of the Catholic upbringing, something interesting that always really resonated with me, you know, I went to CCD, which is like, you know, after school education to make right. your communion. I made my communion. I didn't make my confirmation. But I remember in CCD them talking about how you have to pray for the people in purgatory so that they can get out of purgatory.
Oh, my God.
And I think I was into praying before that, but I do remember that really sticking with me. I was like, oh, my God, I want to help these people get out of purgatory.
Wow.
So I think it got really strong around then. Honestly, in a little bit of a sometimes anxious way, I'd be like, oh, my God, I have to pray for the purgatory. I'd be like, please pray for all the people in purgatory every night.
Wow.
Because they told me that every prayer, you know, was one more, and like everybody in there needed a certain amount to get out.
Wow.
So I really wanted to contribute to that.
Okay, so it's just wild. Like, me growing up as a Protestant Christian, when I hear this stuff, like, I get it, right? Like, I understand how someone could teach you something and that to get ingrained into you. But from an outsider's perspective, it sounds so crazy.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a really interesting thing, right? It's just, it's so, yeah, the metric bit of it. Mm-hmm. In theory, I'm kind of like, and I could see, I'm like, this is a great way to get kids to pray every night. But, and it's funny, I kind of love the word purgatory. Not in a way I'm like, purgatory sounds great, but it's such a good way to describe things. And I love words, I love writing, and I'm like, often I'm thinking like, oh, this feels so purgatorious. I don't know if that's even a word, but...
Yeah, no, that's great. It gives me a theatrics, and it sounds like such a metaphor, too. I recently, a side note, have just been watching Romeo and Juliet for the first time with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Everyone's been telling me to watch that.
Okay, you must. I'm halfway through it, and it's so good, but I just like, you know, the theater and Shakespeare and the metaphors, like, I really resonate. And I think that brings us back to astrology, right? Like, astrology is an archetypal system. And so there is something really that, like, that rings true when we find these relatable archetypes that kind of illustrate our life to us. And obviously, the Catholic idea of purgatory is a very interesting idea. It's not something that I was brought up with. I was told about it, but I wasn't brought up. But in a similar vein, I was brought up with a lot of when it came to heaven and hell, and I would pray every single night without, like, every single night I would pray, Jesus, can you take away my sins? I'm sorry, I was a sinner, every single night. And I thought if I didn't do it one night, then that was it, you know? So just, it was a very anxiety building time, but also spiritually building as well, because it got me interested in spirituality.
Yes. And that's what I was thinking about this. You know, I can't remember what my relationship with prayer was like before that, but I pretty much have gone on praying ever since, but it's really taken a turn. Like, I fall asleep praying most nights now, but it looks like, you know, just a thank you, thank you, thank you. It feels like whoever I perceive God to be feels like a friend.
That's so beautiful.
But there are a lot of layers to the spirituality journey. This is one of them. I've always felt a connection to something and really kind of someone more. And maybe that someone being just all the souls that are here and feeling we're never really alone. We're all parts of something bigger. I definitely believe that. And in a way, it's funny you bring up Romeo and Juliet, because I'm about to be in my first Shakespeare play, which I'm very excited about. Thank you. And part of my spiritual journey, I have always been interested in acting for as long as I can remember. Can't remember where it came from. And, you know, with doing the To Be Magnetic work, I've kind of tried to dive into that and be like, where did this come from? And I still can't really figure it out to this day. Might have something to do with Full House, Mary-Kate and Ashley. I don't know.
Oh, but I love that. Fair.
I've always been very taken with it. And that it's been a driving force in my life and something kind of always pushing me forward, this dream I had that I would get into acting and be an artist and when something called that I would always follow the thread, which is how I wound up finding a lot of the practices that have helped me in my adult life too. So that's how I wound up moving to New York. I was like, well, I have to go there because I want to be an actor and I think that could happen there. And then I wound up not acting for quite a while and going on this kind of journey with my body. I was in school. I dropped out of school because I wasn't really connecting with it. And then I was working in a cupcake shop, which was awesome. And then I, you know, wanted something a little bit more anchored in physicality, and I became a Pilates teacher. And then I was like, this feels empty spiritually. And I had always been interested in astrology. And around that time, friends of mine for my 24th birthday got me a written astrology report. And this report just said things about me that people who know me very well would not know to say, but that are true. So I felt very affirmed in reading this report and just very seen in a way. I don't know that I ever experienced anything quite like that. And before that, I think I was dabbling around in like Susan Miller, which is why I think my friends got me in the report in the first place. I'd been interested in astrology in high school, but nothing I had ever read actually ever spoke about reincarnation, which this report did.
Okay.
And that felt, reading that, I was like, oh, like this is really, felt very homey for me. Like it was language that felt very right for me to be reading. And then, you know, going off of that journey, I wound up finding a yoga practice that really resonated and doing a long, like a year-long yoga teacher training, which also spoke a lot about reincarnation. And through going through that year of kind of hearing that sort of philosophy and reading the Yoga Sutras and practicing these different physical practices, breath practices, that became, I was like, this is kind of sealed in. Okay. And the languages of the astrology I was studying, which is evolutionary astrology, it's sort of focused on the evolution of your soul, whether you believe that's through reincarnation or through looking at kind of your ancestral line. And combining that with what I was learning through my yoga practices, it led me to where I am today. I had been really into self-help books in my early 20s, and I think that was sort of a precursor to this. I thought that I didn't really like studying because I had a pretty hard time all through like grade school and high school and the first 2 years of college, but then getting out of that system and designing my own education, falling back in love with studying, which also, you can see a lot of in my chart, there's a lot of sixth house stuff. It's like craftsmanship and apprenticeship. That wound up being a big part of the spiritual journey too. Like falling back in love with studying and learning and studying these different practices that contradicted what I grew up learning about. And here we are now.
And here we are. Well, it's such a beautiful journey. It's so fascinating to like, it's great for you to follow after your passions and to discover them through the journey of spirituality, especially when you're talking about things like getting into your body and finding your flow and looking at where like theater and acting has always been in your life and then getting this like reincarnation piece. I don't know. It's just really, really beautiful.
Thanks, Jill. It's looking back on it, even though I have to say the walk through my 20s felt like a real walk through the mud a lot of the time. Looking back in it, I'm like, wow, that was pretty gorgeous. And I feel very grateful for it and all of the experiences. And I was just thinking about that today, how important it is just to be as grateful as possible for the current moment, because so often we look back on it and we're like, wow, that was beautiful, even though it felt so hard while it was happening.
Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like I've cried almost like 70% of my 20s, and it has been really good, but really, really hard. And I, you know, I'm curious, like, do you look back on the years in transits in astrology for you and see what was happening in the past?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So were you able to look back and see how things were, and did it align with what you were going through?
Absolutely.
Cool.
You know, two things I particularly love to look at and encourage anybody in their 20s to look at and consider are the progressed lunar return, which doesn't get talked about a lot. That's at about 27 and 4 months. And then, of course, your Saturn return, which, like, gets heating up sometimes around 27. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like the dust doesn't really fully settle usually till you're about 32.
Mm-hmm.
But I think looking at those two big points alongside the smaller things, and it's different for everybody. You can have some other big things that other people might not have happening till later in life around that time too, because everybody's chart is so different. But I think getting through the 20s, that was a real guiding force for me in a way, especially looking at it being at the end of the 20s. I was sort of looking toward it, and I don't know, seeing it as kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, even though I didn't feel like I was in a dark tunnel. Honestly, I kind of did feel like I was in a dark tunnel. But I was looking at it, and I always tell people this, and it's kind of lame, but not really. I love Taylor Swift. And if you listen to, told you this too, but if you listen to Reputation through Evermore, like, that is the sound of a progressed lunar return through a Saturn return.
Very cool. I'm going to have to re-listen to it with that lens.
You will hear it. You can hear she can breathe at the end of Evermore. And I was like, if I could get through my Saturn return, and mine's still not over. I was like, if I could, at the end of it, sound like she's sounding at the end of Evermore, like, this could be okay.
Expansion at its finest.
Huge expansion.
Yeah. That is really, really cool. So, okay, you actually work as an astrologer. So you studied evolutionary astrology, yoga, and then when did you start actually practicing astrology and, like, reading charts?
So I'm 31 now. I started practicing when I was 28. I started studying when I was 24. And I had no intention of being a practicing astrologer when I started studying. It just kind of snowballed. And that's when I got the first reading with my teacher when I was 24, Stephen Forrest, who is so cool. He's this mythical Dumbledore-like creature. And I was just talking about it all the time and using it in my life all the time, and then looking at it with my friends in their lives all the time. And then it just made sense to be here now astrologing.
I love that. It's so great. What part of your chart do you resonate the most with? Like, I see the Libra, the artist. I see the Leo. And I do see the Taurus, too. But, like, is there a part of your chart that really hit it for you?
Ooh, there's so many parts that I love. And there's quite a few parts that I struggle with. A part that I'm particularly interested in right now is my Venus being in Gemini in the 11th house.
Okay.
Because Venus, it has a lot to do with relating. And, you know, it's been an area of growth for me, a very heightened area of growth over these past couple years. My relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, my relationships with, like, strangers I meet on the street. And it being in Gemini in the 11th house, it's been kind of funny to really lean into that, because, you know, Gemini, it wants to be awed and it wants to experience a lot of different things. And the 11th house, in a way, it's house of community, but more like acquaintances, sort of the people you surround yourself with. So, yeah. And then Taurus and Libra having a lot of parts of my chart that really desire calm, I've been kind of focusing on how do I reconcile these two? How do I reconcile this desire to have a lot of experiences and be odd and have a lot of surprise in my life and surround myself with the right community to get where it is that I'm going in life, and also have that kind of Taurian, Libran peace and calm and comfort. How do I weave those together?
It is like the ultimate piece of tension there is to exist in freedom and in comfort and in a home. It's those two dimensions is what I'm hearing.
So well said. Definitely. Right. And, you know, also balancing, like, my south node is in Cancer in the 12th house, and my north node is in Capricorn in the 6th house. And there's a lot about that as self-care being a spiritual accomplishment. So trying to integrate some more discipline into my life, too. I particularly like to look at those two points to try and keep me anchored in my everyday. So I'm looking at that Capricorn North Node a lot and thinking, okay, how do I set up my daily life in a way that has structure that supports the person I see myself becoming, especially being in the thick of my Saturn return, too.
Right. So there's a couple terms that we've thrown around. I can track with you what you're saying. I have 100%, a suspicion.
100%.
I have a suspicion there might be someone listening to this podcast who just is like, I don't know what a Saturn return is. I don't know what North Node is. And I don't know what you just said. And I'm going to do my best to explain what you just said. And you can correct me. And I think that will be really helpful for the audience. So essentially, you said that you are at the end of your Saturn return. And my understanding of Saturn return is that every 28 years, there is Saturn. Wait, I'm going to screw this up. But
you're doing good so far.
I was going to say Saturn goes backwards, but that's a retrograde. Saturn is an energy of transformation, right? They're a ruling planet of transformation. Is that correct?
Saturn, no. it's maturity.
It's maturity. Okay.
It's maturity, and, you know, you had it right with the 28 years. It's about every 28 years. You know, you're looking at your first Saturn return. You will experience that between the ages of 27 and 32, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And a great thing my teacher says about this is it's the end of your youth, the beginning of your power.
Wow.
Which is a little scary, but also really exciting, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people refer to it Dark Night of the Soul because it's a shaking off. I see it as a shaking off of all the things that might be kind of hanging on that are not really you. Because it's the idea of, like, you know, you have to say no to things, kind of a lot of things, so that you can say yes to the things that matter. The Saturn return period is trying to help you get clear on what it is you want to be saying yes to. You're looking at setting up the next 30 years of your life, the kind of, it's a little bit more of an industrious time, you know,
right?
Birth to 30-ish, there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of firsts.
There's a lot of conditioning.
Yes, so much conditioning. So that's why Saturn returns can be kind of notorious for being rough sometimes, because the universe is trying to help you strip off that conditioning. And you're also at a maturity level where you're ready to do that for yourself, too. Like, you have a little bit more autonomy. 30, it's like we've separated usually from our parents enough to be like, you know what? Okay. Actually, no.
There is a really natural biology to the idea of Saturn return. So that's something that I like to lean on if people don't believe in astrology. There is just an innate pattern of growing up that leads us typically to a point where we do have to kind of look at our conditioning and decide what we want to do next, which makes a lot of sense. So absolutely. I'm currently in mine.
You're in it. You're like, I think that you have natal Saturn at 26 degrees and Saturn is at 24 degrees right now. So, like, you're in it. You're having one of the big direct hits of your Saturn return right now.
Well, that might be really explaining if this past week, and I'll tell you about it in a second. But before we go further into Saturn return, I wanted to clarify North and South Node, because yes. you were just saying that Capricorn is in your North Node, right?
Yes. Yes.
So North Node is the destination that you are becoming. It's where you're actualizing into this archetype, right? Like, you are becoming this archetype, and you previously in a past life, if you are doing evolutionary astrology, would have been in your South Node. And your yes. South Node is?
My South Node is Cancer in the 12th house.
Interesting.
That was a I have great a soft spot explanation for you did there.
Oh, thank Lord. You. I haven't even studied at all. I only learned from you. So,
excellent explanation. Another little poem or something, if you will, that I like, astrology limerick or something, is that the South Node is the bottle and the North Node is the meeting.
Oh.
Like if you were thinking in terms of Alcoholics Anonymous or something, because the South Node is like, it's going to, you know, it's familiar. It's mm-hmm. what's been happening already. And it's something that, well, you'll probably, in a way, want to go back to. Mm-hmm. And then the meeting, at least at first, the North Node, is going to be a lot less familiar. It's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. But you'll look at it and be like, that seems like a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of growth stuff that has to happen to kind of help us get over there.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, that's perfect. For me, it makes a lot of sense, too. I think it's, I have a Gemini South Node, and I have a Sagittarius North Node. And so for me, mm-hmm. I think that happens after your, this brings us back to Saturn return, because it's typically after the Saturn return area where you start to become more like the person that you're supposed to be, ideally becoming ideally, who knows? Yeah, I don't know. But like for me, Sagittarius is philosophy, religion, psychology, and freedom. Those are the words mm-hmm, that I think mm-hmm, of with mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is kind of like what this podcast is about. So
absolutely
funny, quite funny.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because, well, I don't want to throw any more terms in there. We'll get to that in a second. But one more thing I wanted to touch on, progressed mm-hmm. lunar return.
Yes. Yeah.
Terms. So that happens around 27 and 4 months. And oh. it's when your progressed moon returns to the place that your moon was when you were born. And the progressed lunar return is kind of like a heart renaissance. Your heart is really pulling at you around that time and trying mm-hmm. to get your attention. It's kind of asking you, how do you feel about this? How do you feel mm-hmm. about life? How do you feel about what's going on? So mm-hmm. that at your Saturn return, you're ready to answer, what do you want to do about it? Because oh, Saturn wow. comes around, asks you, what do you want to do? They're very like, you know, Saturn is a little bit more of a masculine feeling. The moon is more of a feminine feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this heart time that precedes and kind of dances with, because it bleeds into the Saturn return start and sort of spits you out into it. And it precedes this time that's a little bit more, you know, asking you to make some choices and to mm-hmm. be a little bit more concrete. And so I was going to say, worth noting too, you have another one. So you have another progressed lunar return and another Saturn return, because they're, you know, every... Progressed lunar return is going to be every 27 years and 4 months, and Saturn mm-hmm. return is going to be about every 28, 29 years. So Very it cool. will deliver you too from, you know, sort of that center of your life into a time where you're looking at, what did I create in that time and what do I want to do with that?
Yeah.
When you pass your next 'Kay. Saturn return.
So, okay, in my head, I go back 27 years old and 4 months in, I was a crying mess getting over a breakup when I found TBM. Like, that was my timeline.
Yes.
Which is really, really good.
I lightly peeked at, like, your transits and progressions, which that's kind of, it's your current unfolding astrology. And I thought it was so interesting because your progressed moon... You know, your natal moon is in Cancer, which makes sense. You have a little soft spot for Cancers. And then your progressed moon, it moved from Cancer into Leo, probably around the time you were starting this podcast.
Well, that's funny.
And, you know, it's like one of the things about Leo, it's like it's an act of vulnerability. It's vulnerable performance. And I thought that was interesting with your Saturn return unfolding alongside your Saturn return, too, because you've got Saturn in the second house. And it has to do a little bit with the second house has a little bit to do with like proving yourself to yourself and sort of stepping into owning your experience. And with that North Node in Sagittarius conjunct your ascendant, one of the archetypes there, like you said, being philosophy, I thought that was very interesting.
It is cool. Like, this is why it resonates with me so much. And I think, like, I grew up, my mom was like, never look at astrology. Like, my, you know, the conventional religious way of being, you know. And I think a lot of my Saturn return is kind of coming to my own spirituality. That's why this exists. I can obviously appreciate my mom's points and get it. But I also, I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, let's shake all of that off and learn what this beautiful world has to offer and to share for itself. So that's kind of where I'm at. And it's definitely in tune with everything that you just said. I also quit my job this week. So, and also, okay, there's a couple of things we need to talk about. Your progressed moons, because I want to hear about this being so, like, such a big deal for you and for most of us, even if we haven't really heard about it. Two, I want to talk about what's happening currently, because I know for me that the transits that we're going through have been literally putting me on my face on the floor. Like, my nervous system's acting up so much. It's okay. I'm really happy to, like, know about TBM and energetics. When I say TBM, I mean to be magnetic, teaching me about energetics, because I just had to go through this whole thing where I quit my job. I'm very grateful for that opportunity and on to the next thing. But in tandem with that, like, love and relationships and career, they've just done a big turn for me. And, like, yeah, I won't share too much about that. But I'm curious what's happening for me in my chart. And I'm also curious collectively, because today is the start. Yesterday was the start of Mercury retrograde as well.
Mercury retrograde, baby.
Woo! Yeah. So I guess those are two different directions.
Okay. So where shall we start? As Esther Perel would say, where shall we begin?
I still want to continue with progressive moons in you.
Okay. So progressed moons, I will tell you a little about.
Not progressive. Because I'm such progressed a progressive moons. Christian.
Yes. I get all my Okay, so progressed moon, at my progressed lunar return, I also really got into TBM, so that's kind of interesting. That was a wild time. I actually didn't learn about the progressed lunar return until I was a few months into mine, which was actually the first time I got to have a sit-down in-person reading with my teacher. I had had like digital reports from him. I had been to like big group conferences where he was teaching, but I had never gotten to sit down with him before. And then he was like, the progressed lunar return. And I was like, whoa, because after the summer I've had, basically I took the most time off to go back home to be with my parents than I had in ever since I moved out when I was 18. I basically took the summer off. I sublet my apartment. I was like living out of a suitcase with my guitar out of my back. Like, I thought it was Bob Dylan or something.
Oh my gosh, I like it.
It was very sweet. I had a really fantastic cat. And I had been in a relationship that went on and off for, it was on and off for like 5 years. And we broke up and got back together like 3 times. And I actually really was not into the TB magnetic work. Something about it really bothered me. I felt really triggered and repelled by it. And I was really stuck with this relationship. For the most part, this person was a wonderful person. And I learned a lot about myself in that relationship. But I just knew it wasn't right. Like, in my heart, I knew it wasn't right, and it was killing me. Mm-hmm. And in that feeling, I felt so guilty about it, because I was like, we've gotten back together. This is the third time. And I was like, I can't mm-hmm. believe we're going to break up again, you know?
Right.
And I historically have had a lot of problems with confrontation. So I also was like vomiting at the idea of actually expressing the truth of how I was feeling, and like mm-hmm. having to actually go through the breakup and initiate it and speak the actual words. That seemed like chewing glass to me.
Oh, God.
And I was walking down the road, and I was just like, I need to listen to Lacey Phillips, which is, you know, she is the founder of this To Be Magnetic work. And she started talking about relationships and this and that. And I was like, oh. And basically, I got the courage up. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I never really spoke my truth any of the other times that we broke up. And I was doing it through, like, hysterically sobbing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I was like, and I think, that we need to break up. And I did the best I could to explain
myself.
You do
the best you can, right?
And because I wanted us both to be able to move past it. And I was like, we're not going to be able to unless I really try hard to tell the truth here of why I don't think it's working.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. That was pretty much right at the start of my lunar return, which I didn't know at the time was happening. And then I left the city for a couple of months, which I had never really done until that point, almost. Mm-hmm. And I went home to live with my parents, which was actually really lovely. Mm. But it was interesting. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my, I think she was two at the time, two-year-old niece. Mm-hmm. Because my brother and sister were in the process of, like, moving over from Texas back to New Jersey. And my parents had her for, like, 3 weeks that summer. And it was this wild experience of watching my parents with this young girl at the same time that I was doing all of this inner child and shadow work for the first time. So it almost felt like I was seeing it. And I know it's not the past, and how they are with my niece is so different than how they would have been with me.
Right.
And I also realized I had almost never had as much one-on-one time with my parents, like, just me and them. Mm-hmm. Because my brothers were always there. I have two brothers. It was always all of us.
Right.
And there's a lot of questioning involved in the To Be Magnetic work, so I had that opportunity to ask them a lot of questions about, like, you know, what the time period around when I was born was like, and really do a lot of healing around my inner child stuff. I did a lot of healing that summer. And it came into my mind. I wasn't really acting at the time. I wasn't singing. I love to sing. And I was like, you know, just for fun, I want to, like, try and get into an acting class. I want to try and get into a voice class. Mm-hmm. And then I had been on the waiting list for 2.5 years to have that in-person reading with my teacher. Mm-hmm. So basically, at my progressed lunar return, which is in Libra, in the third house, so, you know, it has a lot to do with art. It has a lot to do with communication and writing and teaching and speaking and learning. At that progressed lunar return, I wound up so gratefully, I feel, for it, that I called in all the teachers I really needed at that time. So, like, I was able to really connect with my astrology teacher, and I called in an incredible acting teacher who absolutely changed my life, an amazing voice teacher. And I've had a few through my life, never anyone like this woman. Mm-hmm. And this stuff was all on my manifestation list to call something in. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got more serious about my art, and also about the reality of maybe taking astrology in a potentially professional direction. And I finally was able to speak my truth in this relationship that had been mm-hmm. weighing on me in different ways for such a long time. It was really incredible.
Yeah. It's the energetic, it's like the one thing that's holding you back and you didn't realize it.
Totally. It was a huge energetic shift, humongous. And discovering To Be Magnetic too, that I consider being a really big calling in of a teacher too, even though I've never met Lacey. Actually, I did meet her in person once at an event, but I definitely consider her a big teacher as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as do I. That is wild. So that makes sense. So when you were learning about your progressed Moon with your teacher at that, like, did you have a language to what you were going through at the time, or was that not until later that you were like, oh, that's what that was?
You know, I did, because, I mean, when he said it, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was just, like, the cooker heating up for the Saturn return. And then when he described it as this, like, you know, he's like, it's about your heart. Your heart is asking you how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And it was so affirmative, because I look back to that time and what was happening for me emotionally at that time. And when I have had to make hard decisions during my Saturn return, because, you know, Saturn returns, I feel they kind of test you in a way to bet on yourself. It's like, you know, we cannot do everything. We have to kind of choose. And that time period, what I was feeling in that time period, helped me to choose, like, okay, I'm going to go in this direction and not that one, because, like, I know this is the one that really moves my heart. Oh, God.
Oh my gosh.
It's not over yet, so TBD.
Yeah. So you're on the, you said, kind of like the last couple years of that whole Saturn return for yourself, you feel like? Yeah. What has been, like, one of the biggest lessons that you can see having proved itself through this time?
Well, I do think things get better and better over time. And also, it's just like, you know, the sweetness keeps going, and I like to kind of keep that as a motto, and I do think that's been proven through this time. And especially, you know, coming out of, like, that motto about Saturn returns, like, end of your youth, beginning of your power, there was some bittersweetness around kind of exiting my 20s and some grieving, more around, like, age 28 than 30. But it's just, there's so many layers in my experience thus far, and I know I've still got a lot to go, hopefully, of life. Hope to live to a ripe old age.
I swear, you got it.
But staying true to yourself, I think that's the biggest lesson, I would say. Like, you got to stay true to yourself. It's so worth it. And I think that everyone really deserves that. And if you can trust in that, I think things are going to be okay. But it can be really scary.
It really can. Yeah, so it's cool for me to reflect on the fact that if you were kind of in this on and off thing between the ages of 22 to 27 and 4 months, that really is, like, the bulk of your 20s. And I feel like for me, I went through something maybe not to the same degree, but you've heard me talk about this situation at length with our TBM little meetup circle, but I had, like, a reoccurring anxious avoidant relationship with someone, and we weren't even really in a relationship. It was very much just like a situationship, but it showed me everything and really activated a lot of my attachment systems and made me very aware of my psychology and stuff. So I can resonate on what it feels like to go through some very transformative, difficult energy in your 20s and to get to this place of autonomy in your Saturn return and to get to this flip. Like, I'm just there. So you've gone ahead of me a little bit. I'm literally in it right now, which brings me to this next question about what's currently happening astrologically for us. We are about to go into Mercury retrograde, as well as we seemed collectively to be going through a bit of a rock bottom. I don't know if that's very true, but I have the sense from the Pattern app and from the many astrologers I follow on Instagram that I'm not far off in saying that.
Oh God, there's so much to say about this. Let's start with what I feel like maybe the highlights for the time period of this year are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, some big themes. One big theme, I think, is all this Pisces vibing that's been going on. And I don't know what you think about that, what you've been feeling about that, but basically, we have the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces. And the last time that Jupiter and Neptune were conjunct in Pisces was, I think, 1856. This was quite a while ago, and
I have no memories.
Me either, but we probably do buried down in there somewhere.
Probably.
Unless we were floating up in the ether during that time, which we could have been, taking a rest. So, Jupiter and Neptune have been conjunct since then, but not in Pisces.
Okay.
It's particularly powerful because Jupiter and Neptune are co-rulers of Pisces. So they, in a way, have similar energies.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter is a very expansive planet. It's traditionally looked on as like planet of luck, but it can also translate as overdoing it. You know, because just expansion, everything kind of widening, getting bigger, growing. Mm-hmm. Neptune has a lot to do with our faith in life, in being alive, our spiritual connection. So, you know, when you look at Jupiter and Neptune together, there's a lot of potential there for spiritual breakthrough, particularly in Pisces, you know, because Pisces, it's, in a way, it's a meditative sign. In a way, it's an artistic sign. Like, it's the fishes. It's very tapped into sort of the flow of
water,
life, the undercurrent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Luna Lovegood. When I think of Pisces energy, yes. I think of Luna.
Spot.
Yeah.
Also, when I was listening to your podcast, you talk about you love Harry Potter. I also love Harry Potter.
I am obsessed.
We'll follow back on that. But
I love that.
Absolutely Luna Lovegood energy. Yeah. So if you can think of particularly these past couple months, like the energy from January, I feel like late January, February up until now, there's been a lot of Pisces vibes going on. And if you could think of being in Luna Lovegood's head... If you could think of you've been Luna Lovegoodified over these past couple months. And Luna Lovegood, she had a lot of brilliant ideas and a lot of understanding of spirituality that other people in the cast of Harry Potter did not.
That's true.
She was kind of like beyond.
She was like the most woo-woo of the witches.
But she was also like floating off the damn ground, you know?
It was true. Okay, so this is interesting and I have some comments and maybe you can like agree or disagree. I, having a rising Sagittarius, someone explained this to me like this. I've always felt like I'm on the cusp of the collective wave going forward. Like, every time I have a new interest, I look back and I see a lot of people all of a sudden have the same interest. And I'm like either at the top of a trend or I'm just riding the same wave as a trend. I don't really know. But what I've noticed in the deconstruction, Christianity, deconstruction world, is there is a collective, there's been a lot of collective energies, like, deconstruction was not a thing 3 years ago. You know, all of a sudden we have this huge wave of people who now have a space online, and that wave of people now is experiencing this interest in spirituality, and, like, I always feel like I'm, you know... I don't want to call myself a trendsetter, but I'm always like kind of on the cusp. And so in my past formative years, I would be at coffee shops and frequently I'd be like listening and my ears would perk up when I heard people talking about religion or spirituality. And at the time I was really involved with Christianity. So if someone was talking about Christianity, I'd get really, just last week I was at a coffee shop and typically I hear like, in Calgary, it's small community, so you'd hear conversations like that a lot of the time. But I was at a coffee shop, and I was sitting down, and these two moms were sitting two tables down from me. And they're talking about their, like, witch circles, their, like, childhood development stuff they're excited about. They're talking about Pilates, yoga, human design, and astrology.
Oh my God. They sound awesome.
And I was like, you guys are my people. But, like, I wasn't surprised. Because I felt like that was the next collective shift. I was like, all of a sudden now people are going to discover, like, this isn't just a me thing, like me finding these things interesting. This is a collective actualization. I'm a huge fan of spiral dynamics, which is like another model. It's not astrology, but it's based on evolution. It's based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it talks about after we go through collective trauma, we... as a collective go to the next level. And so the next level from where we were was like in like entrepreneurial thinking, and the next stage up is more like how to give back. It's more like how do we make things more sustainable, like that type of idea. So those are just like where what I'm seeing. And so when you talk about the Pisces collective energy, I'm just seeing a lot of people really start to find their spirituality. And I don't know if my ears are just perked up and like cognitively I'm just looking for that, or if I'm actually seeing us all move forward collectively.
Well, it sounds like from what you say about like being someone who's always a little bit ahead of the curve, just kind of you're able to see, it's a gift of yours that you're able to see what's happening before most people can see it happening. And, you know, Sagittarius, the student, the wanderer, the philosopher, like, definitely makes sense within that regard, too. And absolutely, this is a time when people could be having a little bit of a spiritual awakening. And, like, you know, if not an awakening, a breakthrough. Seeing things in a different way. Sensing that they might need something different in their spiritual life. Just sensing they might need something different in general. You know, spirit can come through in so many different ways. And what we define as spiritual can look like so many different things.
Oh, that's very true.
An excellent way to understand this for yourself would be, like, for everyone to go look. You know, like, say you look around, like, April 26th. It was, like, exact-ish around that time period. Maybe the 20th. If you look at your transits for that time and see... where, what house in your chart the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction fell in. You could also see what house in your chart is ruled by Pisces. And that would give you a better kind of understanding how spirituality can come through in so many different ways. What area that breakthrough has been trying to press in for you. Because the other, the flip side of Pisces is numbing in the billions of ways that we can numb, whether it's like watching too much TV or like partying all the time or... you know,
eating. I feel pretty, I don't even say the word guilty, like I'm pretty much on that page sometimes too, and especially now.
I struggled against that the entire winter. I felt like I was like, I wanted to sleep all the time and eat cake all the time. Oh, I got in a car accident. It was just a wild time, you know, I was like, oh God, I'm in a fog. I'm having a hard time getting out of this fog. But a lot of good definitely came out of this period too. It's just a little bit, I'm looking at it in hindsight. The hindsight of it, oh wow, wow. I'm actually having a little bit of a breakthrough of my own in this moment.
Cool, I want to hear it.
I'm thinking, you know, Pisces rules my eighth house. And the arena represented by the eighth house is sex, death, and the occult. And when I look back on this period, because, I mean, the car accident I got in, I walked away unscathed and like it could have been really and looking at it like, you know, I was spaced out for months and it wasn't intentional and it also wasn't my fault, the accident, but it was like, you know, if I had been more aware, it just felt like, you know, what I have walked away with absolutely feels like a reconnection with myself and with the fragility of life.
And like a little bit really it wakes you up.
It woke me up. I like that car accident happened. I was like, whoa, what am I doing with my life? Even though it was an accident, you know, like someone stopped short in front of the person in front of me. And it was like, you know, I was in California. I was on the 405. Everybody flies on the 405. It just, you know, couldn't really be helped. But it made me that fog. It cut me right through the fog. And I was like reflecting on these past months of being in the fog. And just, I feel I've really had a big turnaround and thought a lot about sex too. And like just the beyond and the meaning of my life and like what's going on and my relationships and what do I really want to kind of root down into. But I'm taking a look at where it is in your chart. And for everybody else listening, go look at where, what house the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces happened in your chart. Oh, for you, Jill, it was in the third house, house of communication. What do you think about that?
Over the past year, well, I've been working up to leaving the role that I was in. So it's interesting, you know, like as things have really shaken up in my life in the past two-ish weeks, this has definitely been like the most trying time. I've really had to... in both my relationship and my job, really have to believe that I need to be true to myself no matter what the outcome is. And I think since January, if I were to take it back even further, I definitely have been watching myself play small in a lot of areas and communication-wise. There's been a lot of me just being quiet and silenced and me reflecting on, you know, okay, like... I'm in a place where I've been doing what I've been doing as a routine for years, for like for a good couple years, and am I really growing towards what I want to do? And like the answer was no. I had a Reiki session with my friend upstairs, and she had a really great, profound thing for me the other day where I was, you know, reflecting on, well, I want to do all these things. I want to travel, and I want to do yoga, and I want to, like, learn my handstands and the inversions and all the stuff and blah, blah, blah. And, that'll come later. And then I had this moment where I was like, but wait, like, I will be 30 soon, and that's fine. That's fine. But like, how far do I want to push my yoga practice that I haven't started, you know, and all this other stuff. And after the Reiki session, my friend, she was just like, you know what, like what I'm reading for you is that you are really in a masculine form of energy. Your job is very masculine. What you do is very masculine. You're always like, go, go, go. Like, what should I do? But it sounds like you're really just craving the feminine. And so as that relates to communication, I think it's really getting in touch with what do I want? Because I'm in the hustle, we're on the hustle grind. And I think there's a part of myself that I've just really shut down. And so maybe communication, it has to do with that. And then relationally, job-wise and all other things, it's more so like me learning that I need to be true to myself. If people come and go in my life, I need to follow what my purpose is and not other people's purpose. And that is really, really hard for me to do.
This is so interesting too, because I think about your spiritual journey, which sounds like it's such a big part of your life, has been, still is, and evolving. And, you know, your job, your relationships, how that play into it, and the communication that results out of all of that, and like really the truth of what your experience has been. And, you know, listening the other day to the first episode of this podcast and the whole story of it, and just I think the journey of this podcast, which it sounds like a lot of it is to be honest about it.
I think communication is everything, which is funny because we are about to be in Mercury retrograde. It's just all about my communication, and I don't know, I don't want to be like all dooms, because okay, here's the thing. Saturn return, Mercury in retrograde, they get a bad rap, right? They get a bad rap.
Oh, yeah, but I think they're actually awesome.
Yes, yes. So feel free to explain that, because, yeah.
Opportunities.
Right.
Basically, Mercury retrograde, I look at it, I really like them. Of course, the little bits that people kind of give them bad rap for, and people are like, it's always Mercury retrograde, and that's kind of true. Mercury is in retrograde, like, generally 4 times a year.
That it's quarterly, right? Or is
pretty
it not
much,
really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, basically, I look at it as processing time. I look at it as system cleanup. Because Mercury, planet of communication, retrograde is when it appears to go backwards. Because when we're looking at astrology, we're looking at how does it look to us down on Earth? How is it appearing to us? Like, what's happening to our human systems down here? And, like, it's like it looks like that planet's moving backwards. It's not actually moving backwards, but it looks like it is. So,
an illusion.
Yes, it's an illusion. So basically, it's asking us in our communication to go backward and to go inward. So you're going back to review. If you want clues about that, look at the house Mercury retrograde is passing through in your chart. And you know, it's like gets this reputation about, oh, you're going to mess up your contracts. You're going to forget your keys. All your communications are going to go poorly. And really, it's just your body, your heart, your mind wants more time because it's trying to, like, you know, think if you're trying to update your iPhone, you're not going to be trying to have an important conversation over text when you're trying to update your iPhone.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't work. And it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, if you really need to have the conversation, you could take the extra time to get out your computer and open up the messenger on your computer and, like, you know, have the conversation. But it's like everything just needs a little more time, a little more tenderness. If you could keep your schedule lighter during Mercury retrograde, that's great. The beauty of it is you can look at coming out of Mercury retrograde likely with more clarity than you went into it with, especially if you honor it and slow down.
I'm going through a lot right now, and I'm starting a new job, and I'm really excited to get some more freedom to become myself in this new role, because my past identity has been so tied to what I've done and the people I've been around. So, yeah, I think I'm going to show up differently, even online. I can imagine myself getting really explorative with spirituality in a new way in the next couple months.
Okay, and I think that's interesting, too. I want to say the date when, because Jupiter has now moved out of Pisces, so it's out of Pisces into Aries. We might be feeling an energetic shift from that, like the fog lifting. I feel it was a bit of a foggy winter, a bit of a hard winter for a lot of people.
This was a hard winter for a lot of people. Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, the Jupiter-Neptune-Pisces thing, since, like, Jupiter and Neptune like being in Pisces, I heard so many astrologers describing it as like, oh, so much possibility for sweetness. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of sweetness is in I could not get out of my bed and eat cake. It was not the sweetest for me.
But it was like a lot of sugar. It was a lot of carbs.
A lot of sugar. But
into it.
It will retrograde. Jupiter will retrograde back into Pisces in the fall. And Jupiter and Neptune will have a conjunction about 6 degrees apart around October 10th, I think it is. It might be October 20th. Sometime in October, this energy will have a little dip back.
So we'll get like another taste.
Another taste. And that's always interesting with astrology, too, to look at time periods when something like that happens and look for links. So, like, everything that's just happened for you, for all of us over these past few months, we can look back in October and probably get a little more understanding of the story that's been unfolding for us and, like, the spiritual breakthrough we've all been going through. Which, again, you can look to the house in your chart that conjunction was unfolding in to understand it a little better. Same thing, look to the house in your chart that the Mercury retrograde is going through to understand it a little bit better.
What is happening for you, though? Like, Mercury retrograde going through what of your houses? Can we ask that?
Sure. Mercury retrograde is going through... Oh, funny you say that. Because I'm thinking it's like it's going to go by my Venus that I said is one of my faves.
Okay. And that's been a huge focus for you.
An area of growth, yeah, for sure. It's pretty close to my Venus right now. It's going through my 10th, pretty close to the edge of my 11th, but... And I would say this is true. 10th house has a lot to do with your cosmic job description, and...
That's a cute way of explaining soul purpose.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 6th house, 6th house and 10th house. 6th house, it's a little bit more like hands in the ground, working on the work, the skills of it all. 10th house is a little bit more like mission. Your mission in life, like, you know, your midheaven up there, 12 noon, like yours is Libra. And I thought that was really interesting. You have Jupiter right there conjunct your midheaven.
I actually have no idea what midheaven means.
Oh my God. So midheaven is another kind of, I was going to use the word destiny, but it's more like it's what's becoming most obvious about you. Because the midheaven, it's the top of your chart. So it represents high noon. It's the brightest, the part of your chart with the most light. So kind of, you know, it's getting brighter and brighter as you go through life, and you've got Jupiter and Libra up there. So it's like, you know, Jupiter is an expansive planet. It's made me think of those qualities of, you know, the artist, the peacemaker, the lover expanding in you, getting brighter. And, you know, the midheaven, it gets stronger as time goes on. 10th houses usually take a little bit and they get stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I think you'll see that in me. Expand. That's the perfect word. You're gonna see that happening as I feel called to really focus in on photography more. So I think you'll see that. That's fascinating. Astrology is wild.
It's wild. We could take it down so many roads.
I know. But okay, wait. I want to talk about astrology, but and we have. But I also kind of want to talk about manifestation with you, if you're down.
Absolutely. One more astrological bit, because this is the last bit of the themes for the year that I think are interesting. And if people listening were going to look somewhere, I'd say, look here. South node of the moon right now is transiting through Scorpio. North node of the moon is transiting through Taurus, and that's also where the eclipses are. You know, the eclipse we just had was in Scorpio, and the eclipse that we are going to have is in Taurus. The eclipse is like Sunday night, Monday morning, I think. Okay. The May 16th, May 15th, depending what time
zone. Why are we going through? We're going through a lot right now.
You know, in a way, so they have similar themes. Like, we always have eclipse season at this time of year, so it's always, like, a little intense around this time. And the eclipses always conjunct the nodes of the moon. But with this Pisces vibe and, you know, Scorpio and Taurus, why I think this is interesting is because Uranus is in Taurus right now. And Uranus stays in Taurus for something like six-ish years. Mm-hmm. Uranus is a little bit of like a disruptive planet. It can be a surprising planet. You know, things can go in unexpected directions wherever Uranus is. Uranus has been in Taurus all through COVID. It like went into Taurus just a little bit before that. And, you know, Taurus, you think of like resources, our material world, our comfort, peace, calm in our life. And that's definitely been really disrupted over these past couple years and taken in directions like the ways we find comfort, the ways we operate in our homes. We were all at home for the most part for so long and operating differently within our home. You know, the supply chain is disrupted, crypto taking off over these past couple of years. Like our resource situation is really shifting. And this eclipse is in Taurus too. And the North Node will conjunct Uranus soon. So there's a lot of action basically pushing us toward Taurus collectively. And asking us to really heal the Scorpio bits. You know, Scorpio, it's like it wants truth. So it's, I feel it's kind of asking us to really like dive down into truths that we have maybe been avoiding personally and collectively. Like, we cannot avoid them. It's like kind of killing us to avoid them and to really unsheath them, to take them out, to dig them up and do a healing so that we can move toward that peace kind of represented by Taurus, and that comfort in our bodies, in our collective body, you know, feeling safe in our bodies, feeling safe at home on Mother Earth. You know, you think about what we've got going on with the climate and, you know, Taurus, it is the earth, and thinking about how can we feel at home in the earth and how can the earth feel at home with us. I think we're being pushed toward a lot of that right now. And I think the eclipses, because the personal role that we all play in the collective healing is so important, and it's going to be different messages for all of us. So whatever's coming up for each of us, I feel plays a very big role in all of these bigger questions we're being asked. Even if you might look and be like, well, how does me and, you know, XYZ, whatever drama I'm going through in my life, relate to like the climate crisis or to like cryptocurrency or what's going on in the government? But it does. Like us stepping up and owning that truth and playing our part as best we can helps us to play our collective part and move the collective in the direction that we're to go in.
There has never been as easy as a lens to view the collective shifts in as there has been TikTok. That is the quote.
I mean, TikTok is really, it's insane.
I mean,
and fun.
Just watching, we don't need to talk about Roe v. Wade, but watching the trends coming out for the Me Too movement right now collectively. It reminds me of a podcast I listened to by Shaman Durek and Rose Gold Goddess. What's her name? You know
it. I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of her name.
Sahara Rose. Sahara Rose. And I listened to a podcast with Shaman Durek before, like it was like in 2020, and it was forecasting the next 12 years. He talked about how, like, you know, astrologers have known something huge was going to happen at the time of COVID well before. And then he talked about how, like, you know, it's kind of the start, and not to be like a Debbie Downer, but like it's a start of a huge transformation period of about 12 years is what he was saying. And that, like, you know, 3 years in, we were going to see huge women's movement reignite similar to the Me Too movement. And I'm seeing it start on TikTok. And so I think just to be observant, like, someone also told me that astrology, that if you can view astrology like having a flashlight. And so instead of just walking blindly into the things that are coming up, it's like you have a light to see what is right ahead of you. And so I love seeing that because, you know, if all of this is true and we have all this collective unpacking to do societally and we are going towards becoming more at one with the universe and with nature, we get to see that through the blueprint of the stars. And I think it's just like so beautiful to have people like you studying it and implementing it into your life in a very practical, healthy way.
The beautiful thing about it too, you said that so well, is that when you have a flashlight, it's not deciding your fate. And I think that people get really anxious with astrology sometimes because they feel that it's predictive or, you know, set in stone, but it's not. You have a flashlight, you see what's in front of you, and then you get to decide what to do with that based on what feels true for you. Yeah. And there's a lot of different things. That's why we look at these archetypes. Like, you have a lot of choices, but it helps you to kind of think of it in different ways and from different lenses and different perspectives.
It's almost like you get the opportunity to be a bit more grounded going into the inevitable versus the chaoticness of just falling into the inevitable.
And I think before anything even happens, I think it gives you a tool to think about all the different ways you can do something so that it's almost like nothing is inevitable. Like, you are like, you know, I think it's like 51% universe, 49% us, maybe the other way around. I don't know. But I think we absolutely have the power to change what's unfolding. So it's inevitable that we will do something. That's what's inevitable, right? Like, change is inevitable. Right. The passage of time is inevitable. And astrology, I think, gives you a lot of different ways, as do many other practices. You know, whatever ends up feeling right for people. But it gives you the opportunity to think about what all your possibilities to shift and mold the future could be.
It's beautiful. I love that. I would love to talk a little bit about your manifestation practice if you have the time and are down.
Yes, would
love
it.
We are like over an hour, so let me know if you're okay with that.
Totally cool.
Okay. I want to know about how you discovered manifestation, your journey spiritually with manifestation, and what you practice now and how manifestations have come through for you.
Okay. So, how I discovered manifestation, we touched on it lately earlier. I mean, a friend introduced me to Lacey Phillips, and I wasn't into it at first, so To Be Magnetic. And then one day I just, like, something clicked right around my progressed lunar return. I came around, and I was, like, highly invested. I went really hard that first year. I did every program within To Be Magnetic that was available. Every day I was practicing for probably over an hour a day. And my experience of it was unpacking tons of stuff from childhood and just my whole life, just a lot of unprocessed stuff. I do have a therapist who I see twice a week, so I was doing it with her help, which was great and helped the process along. You definitely don't need to do it with a therapist, but it was good to have her to talk through things with because I was most comfortable with her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And in manifesting, my process has definitely involved a lot of the visualization. So a lot of writing that really helps me, you know, to get to the bottom of, like, what am I feeling and what do I really want? What is this really about for me? That feels very important within the manifestation process because they say this, you can't manifest if you don't know what you want to manifest.
That's so true.
You know, you can't manifest in, like, a directed way. You can manifest in a very undirected way, but... And with that, to this day, it's like, you know, I go through times where I'm like, I'm just not clear. I'm just not clear. And that's okay. So, like, I go through those times where I don't have a ton of stuff on the list, or I'll try to put stuff on the list, and I'm like, you know, that's not really it. And I need a little time for it to really percolate and for me to be like, yes, I want to call that in. Things I have called in, so many fun, interesting things. I tried to pull up some old lists before we got on, but I couldn't find them. But one of my favorites is my car that I manifested for $1,000.
Okay.
I think I told you. No, I probably didn't. Yeah. I might have told you guys when I was calling it in.
I remember a car story, but I don't know what it was.
I did have a list of, like, qualities. I wanted it to be, like, kind of cool looking.
Yes.
I wanted it to be really safe. I wanted to pay about $1,000. I think I had a little bit more than that I would have paid on my list, but I wanted it to be good on gas. And I didn't want to have to pay a lot of taxes. And pretty much all of those things came through.
That's amazing.
It was so awesome. And I was so excited. And having the car, you know, I've lived in New York City. I hardly ever drove in my life. So it was very expansive for me in a lot of ways. It just kind of like, even though I didn't move out of New York, it gave me a new sort of lease on my experience here. It almost, you know, felt like adopting a little bit of a new way of life. That was like a fun, tangible one. There have been many times I have randomly, not randomly, because I'd be like, I want to manifest like $6,000. And then through the most ridiculous like form, the money would just come through all these different outlets. There's thinking process to it too, you know, like I definitely have set up my life and within manifestation they talk about opening portals so that the money can come in, and opening up a portal can look like, you know, opening up a side hustle that maybe you don't do all the time, which I have several of.
Can I hear
oh, absolutely, like
revenue streams you set up.
I wouldn't even, like, it's not fair to call them a side hustle because these things for the most part are very important to me, but you know, sometimes I work as a doula, so it's like, you know, I'll call in a couple doula clients, I'll go to a couple births, and like they'll just show up and feel really aligned and like the right people for me to be working with. I have like a little internet, like I sell things on the internet. I've gotten a little bit into like buying and selling NFTs.
Amazing.
I will find things on the sidewalk and sell them on Facebook Marketplace like 20 minutes later.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like I found a bar cart recently and I turned around and sold it for $60 like 5 minutes later.
That's amazing. See, that's a reframing. So, like, manifestation to me has become so practical. Like, it is magical. It's spiritual to a degree. But there's a whole part of personal power that I believe is a big part of it, too, like opening portals. So I like using witchy terms for my manifestation practice because it makes me excited to do it. But I also just believe that getting clarity, actively opening opportunities to receive money, that's how you manifest. If that's what you want, you need to actually rise in your self-worth to a point where you believe that you are deserving to even have these portals.
Absolutely.
That like, oh, I'm deserving of making $60 from selling this stool on the side of the street, because, you know, it might take time for it to someone, but it also could go in a second and I can just make $60, you know?
Absolutely. And I think unblocking any shadow around any shame someone might have around picking up a used piece of furniture off the side of the street and carrying it home and then selling it on Facebook Marketplace, you know? Right. Same thing. It's like when you're trying to manifest a partner, it's really so much about raising your self-worth. And like we've been talking about with all the astrology stuff, it's about so that you're saying no to the things that are not really what you want, so that there's room for the thing that is what you want. And that comes through when trying to manifest things in career, I think, too. Keeping space open for stuff, and also knowing that you're worthy to go after the thing that you want. That plays into it a lot. I think it's like what it's morphed into for me. There's been so many layers, and definitely it does feel like there's a magic to it. But at the same time, it is, like you said, it's so practical. What it has morphed into is I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, I'm manifesting myself into the person that I am holding the vision of myself being. Like, I love myself now as I am, but there are things I want to achieve and accomplish and experience. And what do I need to do to get myself feeling like I deserve that, and then like I can take those actions and put all the puzzle pieces together to manifest it in.
When it comes to the concept of like quantum leaping and archetype embodiment and that type of thing, do you Like, do you see a relationship between astrology and putting on a character and becoming that? Or, like, what are your thoughts between those three different kind of ideologies?
Okay, so I don't know tons about quantum leaping, although I hear it and I'm like, I like the sound of this.
Okay. It's basically, my understanding of quantum leap is this idea that, I mean, people are explaining this in maybe a spiritual bypassing way, maybe not, depends on your interpretation, but in the quantum realm, you don't necessarily believe in time. Time can be nonlinear, and so it's this concept that, like, your future self could be now, and so you can basically, like, be your future self now. But it's very much like, okay, I'm gonna put on a character, like, today I'm gonna show up powerfully in the world and I'm gonna dress powerfully, and thus I am my future self that's powerful, if that makes sense. So that, in correspondence with, like, archetypes in astrology, because in astrology we have a north node, which is basically an archetype that we are probably becoming, right? Your soul is probably transcending into this particular archetype. But I basically wanted to ask you, like, how does your manifestation practice correlate with your archetype or astrological practice?
Very much. And, you know, I'll think about the archetypes that I struggle with. Honestly, I struggle with the Leo archetype. The Taurus and the Libra feel a little bit, because my sun is Taurus, my moon is Libra, my ascendant is Leo, and it feels... Taurus and Libra just feel a little bit more natural to me. They feel a little safer. Leo, I just have more shame around the Leo, and that's tough because it's my rising sign, you know? And it's like the rising, the ascendant is how you dawn on people. So it's like there's something, like, I've got a little bit of shame around how it is that I dawn on people. And also, astrologically speaking, how it's most natural for me to dawn on people. You know, it's a natural archetype for me to embody, and I have a hard time with it. Getting easier, but it's been hard. So I work that into my manifestation practice by just looking at it. I look at the high sides and the low sides of archetypes for that. Like, for example, high sides of Leo are the queen, the performer, the sacred clown, the child. I always think of that, like, really embodying your inner child. And then I use this one a lot just because it pierces right to my soul, but, like, a low side archetype for Leo is the spineless dreamer.
Oh, wow.
And it gets me. I'm like, oh God, that is what I absolutely don't want to be. But, you know, it's like you're dreaming of performing, you're dreaming of embodying this archetype, but it's just a dream and it just exists inside of you, because so much of Leo, it's about performance as a spiritual act, because it's Leo wants to give a performance that matters, that really reveals a vulnerability of the truth of its internal processes, makes its internal processes external. And it's tough. It can be tough.
You know what? I think there's one very magical... I think I reposted this on my Instagram story of you, like, 5 times.
Oh.
Like, I'm not even kidding. There's this, like, one extremely magical candid moment of you on a very kismet date.
Oh, I manifested that date.
Okay, do you want to share this? Can we talk about it? Like, can you share the story?
I can share some of the story.
Some of the story. I'll, like, round out what I'm saying by basically saying that I shared this post that was a very candid screenshot of you dancing very beautifully in a fountain of water in public with someone. Mm-hmm. But you have always given me Leo Queen energy. And I don't know if you know that, because I feel like you're, like, maybe relating more to this, like, I really want to perform and, like, do it justice. But, like, you've always given me, like, Leo Queen energy as a bystander. So I always think about that video. It's on repeat in my brain. Like, it's been months.
That is so sweet. And I'm glad that you think on me that way, because it was really, that was a real high point of my summer that night.
It was really fun.
Yeah, this came at a time. And you know, with the Leo too, it's like, it's the feeling it. It's feeling that you embody the archetype, right? And feeling connected with it. And you know, I feel inside of myself very connected with it, but when it comes to externalizing it, I can feel just like really shy. And I was a really shy little kid, mm-hmm. and I actually had a lot of background in performance in my childhood that maybe I got some things from, like some good things, some things that were a little bit tougher. But yeah, that's one, that's an archetype I struggle with, but I take it into my manifestation a lot because I know it's important for me, and like the light will dull if I don't water it. So I mm-hmm. definitely work it into different practices and think about it a lot in a practical way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this magical date that I manifested, I had been going through a tricky time with a different guy who I had an on and off. It was kind of interspersed in the other on and off in a way. And mm-hmm. I had a whole, I think, karmic difficult time with this person. And it was in the process of us closing out that experience. And I was feeling frustrated. And I was like, you know, I want to go out with someone. And basically this person, even though it was a very short-lived connection, we had the most magical summer night together. We went swimming in the Washington Square Park. We got our palms red. We like made out in a lightning storm. My name is Sky. His name was Sky. It was just, how kismet could it be? And mm-hmm. the interaction was so healing. And especially because mm-hmm. it just reminded me how easy things could be.
Mm-hmm. And it's expansive.
It felt like, you know, the experience of just like feeling that feeling. Because you can think things until you're blue in the face. But like mm-hmm. the experience of feeling it was very healing.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love to talk about like an abstract manifestation like that too, that's just showing you what's possible for yourself.
And there were so many kismet things about it that it was like, come on, this is from the universe. This is not coincidence.
Yeah, and then it's also beautiful that you're like, it's short-lived, but it doesn't mean it was a failure, you know?
Absolutely. I haven't had many experiences like that, so it really felt like the universe showing me something new and being like, okay, move from this mm-hmm. old thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. very Venus and Gemini too, you know?
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay, you've also manifested a are you an understudy, or are you in the role of a character in a Shakespeare? Can we talk about that?
I am in the role of a character. I am playing Mistress Quickly in The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Quickly!
Yes.
Yay! Congrats.
Yes, at this. Thank you so much. This really cool, quirky theater. And this is my third play with them within the past year. That's which, amazing. Like, this time last year, I would have literally sawed my arm off to be like, you know, doing theater. It's like everything was closed because of COVID. And like I started studying acting shortly before COVID.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting ride of trying to make that feel as real as I want it to in my life. But it's been the most exciting journey of being able to like get on stage and like be with real people, because I was doing some online stuff during COVID. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super excited about that. Although learning Shakespeare feels, I'm like, woo. Well, it was a bit of an undertaking, and I hope that I do a great job. I have faith, though. It'll go well.
Okay. You have to watch Romeo and Juliet. I'm going to finish it.
Oh, my God. I absolutely will. I can't wait.
It's so good. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to talk about it, too.
Honestly, I'm so excited and proud of you, and to hear your journey, to hear how astrology has played a part of everything too. And I know we didn't even like really fully talk about Pilates and like your journey with the physical, but you kind of did talk about yoga. We talked a little bit about Pilates too, but just to like hear the journey that you're on and like how you've been able to reflect, and like it's so relatable to even be like, yeah, this past winter like it was really foggy and things felt really numb, and that's so normal. Like this even after someone who like I love doing self-work, I love talking about psychology, but I also had a really numb winter where I just had a really hard time. And so it's very, like, relatable to just hear about how you're using astrology and, you know, being compassionate towards yourself and looking towards, like, how you want to grow in the future and what you're manifesting and what your practice is. And I am really grateful that I know you, and I'm really grateful I can share you with my audience and my friends.
I'm so grateful I know you, too. And I think this podcast is so cool, and I can only imagine that anybody listening to it is also really cool. So I feel kind of like we're sitting with some more people energetically.
I know, it does kind of feel like that. It does feel like that, which is really nice. Okay, well, this kind of brings me to the question of where can we find you, and are you doing readings? Are you open for doula business? Mm-hmm. Are you open for NFT business? I don't know, like, what, yeah, like, what's the best way to contact you and to do all this stuff?
I do have an NFT project percolating in my brain, but it's still a brainchild. We'll talk about that in the future. Mostly, you know, focusing on astrology stuff. If you feel called doulaing, I do that a little bit these days. So if you feel like you need a doula, you're in New York, let's connect. I love to, like, have those connections come in. It's such an awesome experience to have with people when the time is right. But astrology, you can find me on Instagram. I'm not really on there that much these days. But my Instagram is Sky Spallone. And at the link in my bio, you can find my website for readings and all that kind of thing. I'm, yeah, definitely doing sessions, sort of a mix of, it's like astrological counseling. So we kind of talk about what's going on in your life and relate that back to your chart. I do full birth chart readings too.
Very cool. Okay, well, I'll link your website below so that if you aren't actively on Instagram, people can just go and find your website straight away.
Perfect.
And yeah, it was really great to have you on. Thanks for sharing all your wisdom. I can't wait to hear what people say, and I can't wait for people to connect with you based on this conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jill. And I hope that this upcoming eclipse and Mercury retrograde, I think it's going to be really good for you.
I trust. I'm in full
Absolutely.
Trust.
Absolutely. I think it's going to help, like, you know, like.
Yeah, let the dust settle.
Yeah, like the rain after the dust storm that makes the dust stick down to the path.
Oh, God.
Doesn't that sound nice?
That is a prayer. That sounds really,
like, a nice
really,
cooling
like,
rain in the desert.
Very cool. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sky, for coming on. We'll catch you next time, okay?
All right, my dear. Thank you so much.